This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. Diagnosed with terminal lung cancer, given 6 months to live, Carl Helvey refused chemotherapy and he used natural methods to heal himself. Today, at the age of 38, he is believed to be the longest living lung cancer survivor. However, like many other cancer tales, what worked for one may not actually work for everyone. Telling us more about holistic healing and lung cancer today and what lessons we can take away for ourselves are, you know, Vaithya CDCB. He's president of the Can Survive Center, and Stanley Ong, who's the chairman of the International Conference on Holistic Healing, which is happening not very far from now. Welcome to the show, gentlemen. How are you today?
Very good.
Welcome back, Dr. Sibi.
Yes.
It's been a long time. Stanley, I'm just going to go to you very quickly. Do you want to tell me, you're the chairman of the International Conference on Holistic Healing. This is the first time it's being held here in Malaysia. How long have you been involved in this?
Oh, actually, this is not the first conference. This is the third conference, mm-hmm.
In Malaysia?
In Malaysia. I was involved in Can Survive for almost 2 years. I started as the organizing chairman for the Can Survive Charity Golf. So this year, I'm the organizing chairman for the international conference.
Okay. Any reasons why you got involved in Can Survive? Is there a personal story or?
No, I have retired. So this is just my way of contributing to society.
Okay. And this year, the theme is lung cancer. Is there a reason for that?
Yes. Because other than breast and colon cancer, lung cancer is the third largest cancer killer in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Right. Last year, our team was on breast cancer. So it's natural this year, the team is on lung cancer. Next year, we are talking about colon cancer, which is the second largest cancer killer in Malaysia.
All right. And any reason why you've always focused on cancer? Because, we talk about holistic healing and, just holistic living, I think, is something we need to advocate a lot more before we even get to the cancer stage. But is there a reason why you seem to emphasize cancer?
The name of the organization is Can Survive.
Yep.
Can Survive
actually
is a sense of cancer survive.
Sure.
Yeah. So our organization is always associated with cancer.
But at the same time, you advocate, holistic living and preventive, a healthier way of life, really. In order to prevent, things like cancer from setting on. Dr. Sibi, we've had you on before, and do you see many patients as far as lung cancer is concerned? And you want to go through what you actually practice.
I'm actually an Ayurvedic physician. I've been practicing for the past 22 years in this field. I have seen many cancer patients and, of course, lung cancer patients also are there. Maybe the number is not so very large, but it's, of course, there are many lung patients also coming, cancer patients.
And most of the time the reasons are they because they're smokers or because lung cancer does also affect people who don't smoke? But based on your experience, if you look at lifestyle issues, what are some of the contributing factors?
If you look at it at present, if you look at the numbers itself, you can see that all over the world, or in Malaysia itself, if you take at one time, there are 100,000 patients suffering from cancer. And every year we have more than 20,000 or above patients confirmed that they have cancer. In that, when you look at cancer, which is affecting the lungs, there are four main reasons, or you can say contributing factors. One is, you can say, the tobacco, which is 70 to 80% for men. And among these cancers, you can say 13.8% is for men and 3.8% female. That female part, basically, it is also connected to passive smoking, which is a secondary smoking.
Yeah.
Then the second factor they are talking about lung cancer is the diet, which is an unhealthy diet. Third, environmental factors like exposed to unhealthy radon, asbestos and extra chemicals like that. And the fourth is, when you have direct radiation therapy into the lungs after mastectomy or because of any other conditions. And then also there are many main other factors are if you have tuberculosis, if you have emphysema, if you have pneumonia, if you have asthma, if it is not treated properly, there can be some lesions which is left in the lungs also may later can develop into a lung cancer. These are the main factors which is causing.
The four main factors.
Yes.
The prognosis for lung cancer is often not very good, Dr. Sibi. And coincidentally, we did a show with two respiratory physicians just about 2 weeks ago. And we spoke about the staging of lung cancer.
Lung cancer, yes.
And most often it presents late.
Sure.
And often prognosis is not very
it's
good.
It's not very good.
Do you see this affecting people's approach to holistic healing? Because especially when you're told, it's progressed, it's at this stage, people get very...
That depends, I believe that, or what I would say is that whether the person go to any system of medicine, whether it is conventional or holistic or spiritual medicine or anything, if the case is already late stages, you cannot expect a complete cure in that condition. The question is how much palliative care you can give, how much quality of life he can provide, how much confidence you can give into that patient, There are certain factors like depression, anxiety, sleeplessness, pain, cough. I mean, symptomatic relief only you can expect in that condition. You may not be able to have a good prognosis at that point of time.
Okay. And as an Ayurvedic physician, how do you, go about dealing with patients like this when they come to see you? Because obviously they've already gone to see the mainstream medical doctor.
See, there are some patients when they go to conventional system, if it is terminal ill, they will directly openly tell the patient, see, this is what we can do. Maybe if the condition is appropriate, a surgery or chemotherapy or radiation. And there are, so apart from that, they may say, if it is really bad, they will tell you, this is the maximum you can expect out of this. That's the time sometimes patients are so desperate, they'll be looking for other alternatives. Yeah. But we will be clearly telling them, have you already consulted the conventional system? And what is their opinion? And why you do not want to continue the treatment there? Then we will tell them what we can offer, our limitations. We are not going to tell them unhealthy stories or miraculous things. We tell them, okay, this is what we can do. This may help you, introducing a breathing technique or introducing some herbal combinations, some pranic healing, some qigong. All these things can actually complement to have a comprehensive approach even at the later stage of the condition. You may not be able to cure them, but at least you can give them some comfort and quality. This is what we openly tell them.
Right. And how do you make sure you don't encroach into the area of conventional medicine?
Because, see, if you are looking at the Can Survive Center, this center is to provide holistic and orthodox completely. That's the approach. So we don't tell them that, that's bad. Don't do this. Don't do that. No, we will kill you. No, nothing like that. We have a support team where we have oncologists in that. We have yoga specialists. We have qigong specialists. We have Chinese medicine physicians. We have Ayurvedic specialists. So we have the comprehensive approach into that. We will tell them clearly. So when a patient comes, we may first refer to an oncologist and take an opinion. What do you think? Do you think anything can be done? So he will tell, no, it's too late to do anything. Maybe you can think about giving some comfort. So that's how we work with the patient. So we do not encroach and say that is bad or we are good. And I don't think any system is complete. An integrative approach is the best to provide, which has to be holistic. So it helps the patients to improve. And also the holistic approach, when we talk about it, we do provide some important components of how to take care of the mind and the body components. We just not take care of only the physical part. Mm-hmm. That's the advantage of it. Whether we use a pranic healing or whether you use an Ayurvedic treatment or whether you use a breathing technique, we are trying to address the mind part also in relaxing the patient. So that's the advantage of introducing or integrating the holistic approach.
Yeah. People are usually, by nature, they're very impatient, Dr. Sibi. And holistic healing seems to be very anecdotal in nature. Mm-hmm. How do you convince people of the science or the logic behind it? Because all of this takes time. Don't see results in a mm-hmm. week or two. Mm-hmm. But how do you convince them to persevere, to stick to the program and not give up?
Yeah, we see, For an example, definitely when they come to you, naturally they want miraculous, fast result.
Yes.
So we make them understand that. One thing is making them understanding that you are the healer. Patient is the healer, not the physicians. It's the nature and the patient is the healer. So make him understand this is a condition which is developed in your body. If you want to fight it positively, fight it. If you want to just depress yourself and die, you know, it's like, you know, you have to choose which is it. So we are trying to make him understand you are the healer, you can do the best. There are many cases which actually positively fight and surviving still. So those stories will definitely make them feel more confident to think differently. We may not tell them like, okay, this is the stage, you're going to die in 3 months, or this is, no, we will tell them that this is the fact. You understand the fact and try to look at it differently. So it's just basically making them feel that, okay, we can give it a try. No need to basically just say that and sit and cry and depress and, you know, like that. So it's just changing that attitude of that individual makes a lot of difference.
Stanley, I mean, you've been involved in cancer survivors as well, but have you seen people, people who have been successful in adopting this holistic healing, you know, while trying to fight cancer?
Definitely they are. Of course, they are reported. There are also some that are not reported, you know. Like in this conference, we have got people who had gone through and was recovered, you know. So they are speakers who will be testifying, you know, about their experience, mm-hmm. you know, on how they have recovered from cancer.
Yeah. And how do you ensure that, you know, people don't get too carried away by this anecdotal evidence as well, you know, because sometimes it's, yes, it motivates you, but at the same time, it can give you a false sense of mm-hmm. Well-being when, you know, it's not really happening. So how do you manage that, Dr. Sibi?
See, when a doctor is saying that, okay, I have treated so many cases, or he may come and give the testimonies, he may come and give the evidences, and still we do not promote somebody coming and saying in the stage, okay, I am cured. We do not promote that things because every individual is unique. The purpose of cancer survive is to give them information, telling them that this is how you get the disease. This is how you can be prevented. What we are showing is we have international speakers coming from Australia, India, and local speakers from Gleneagles, the oncologist is there. We have alternative physicians. Everybody is there. They are going to talk to you how this is happening in the body. Which are the reasons? How can you prevent it? So we are trying to teach them. We always believe that if you give proper information to the public that it can be prevented. For an example, smoking is the highest reason for lung cancer. Even though we are telling them don't smoke, statutory warning, everything is there. Still they
I'm
smoke.
Almost giving up talking about how everyone should stop smoking.
Sure.
Tell, give me one reason why I should go on, Dr. Sibi. Because nobody seems to be listening.
Yes, that is the actual fact there. So when you see the pictures of the people, you know, and the maybe by looking at the statistics and everything, 70-80% is smoking. And which that means, see, when you look at breast cancer, of course, there is only 30% we can think about all the other factors. The rest is genetic factors, which definitely is quite difficult. But when you look at lung cancer, 60-80% of the cause is exposure to smoking, either direct or indirect. Then asbestos and the radon things, which can be informed and they can at least think about those things to be avoided. High obesity and having unhealthy food. You know, we are providing, telling them, be more vegetarians, which can reduce cancer incident in any part of the body.
Really?
Yeah. So these are all proven. So these are the things which you're trying to inform them. We don't tell them, take the story from this and go and believe that. You have to definitely scrutinize and go through the proper treatment program. Then support it by using the holistic approach, which can minimize, you know, cachexia, where you have problems related to appetite, sleep, pains. All those things can be reduced to a greater extent by introducing holistic approach techniques. And some patients who actually go through the chemotherapy, radiotherapy, they have so many other symptoms which can be completely reduced to a greater extent by introducing breathing techniques. So it's basically giving a comprehensive approach by that. That's what we are looking at.
Sure. I'm just going to digress a little before we go into a quick break. Dr. CB, I had someone on from the to talk about a plant-based diet, and he felt that we are, he made the statement that we're meant to be herbivores. I mean, would you agree with him? I mean, in my mind, we were meant to be omnivores. I mean, look at our teeth. We were meant to tear meat.
I believe he's right.
Really? No. I've got the wrong people on. Okay, all right. We'll come back and find out a little bit more about holistic healing and lung cancer. If you have a question for Dr. CB or Stanley Ong, send it through. The number is 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Meera Sivasuthi. We're discussing holistic healing and lung cancer with Dr. Sibi. He's a president of the Cancer Vive Center, together with Stanley Ong, who's the chairman of the International Conference on Holistic Healing. Now, this international conference is going to be the third, happening later this month. And of course, Stanley is the chairman. And of course, the theme is, of course, lung cancer and holistic healing this time. So how much participation have you gotten, Stanley, for this year's conference?
So far, we have got 200 over people who has registered with us, you know.
As delegates?
Yes.
Okay.
And within the next 1 or 2 weeks, you know, with the press release and with this interview, we expect actually a lot of response, you know, like last year.
Okay. And what can we expect?
We have got foreign speakers from Australia, from India, and local speakers, you know, who will be covering the various aspects on cancer. So not only lung cancer, though the theme this year is lung cancer, but they'll be covering the various aspects of on cancer, like prevention, you know, diet, nutrition, the mind, or people who has got who has recovered from cancer, who will be basically talking on their experience.
Right. And as I said, this is the third installment. How was the response for the last 2 years?
Oh, the last 2 years are very good. The first year, we had 400 over people who attended. You know, to be exact, I think it was 450, though we could only take 400. Mm-hmm. And last year, we had got more than 500, you know, though the hall can only take 500.
Right. Were they ordinary people or were they patients? You know, were they just people from the industry?
They are basically patients, family, you know, of family of cancer patients, healthcare providers, and people who want to know about cancer. So it's various disciplines.
Okay. And when Dr. Sibi, when people come to you, I mean, just generally, before, of course, we even are diagnosed with anything, what do you advocate in terms of a holistic lifestyle?
We always believe that prevention is the best. See, you look at any disease. At present, it's only because of either ignorance about what to eat, what not to eat, or what time I should wake up, whether I should exercise or how much to exercise. But the sleep has a role in that, you know. So it's advocating is basically to make them understand there are preventive measures for any condition. And that's what we definitely tell them. Importance of waking up early, sleeping early, exercising regularly, certain food items not to indulge. Like when you look at even lung cancer, you know, we always say do not take too much of mucus-producing milk products like yogurt. Is better to avoid too much intake and don't take yogurt every day. Mm-hmm. We also tell them milk produced things like cheese or even meat products, those kinds. So these information we tell them, try to have food in smaller quantity and when you feel really hungry. If you do not feel hungry, don't eat it. Actually, we need only 2 meals a day. So we advocate them to have proper quantity healthy food, healthy lifestyle, importance of healthy sex. Everything is advocated to make sure that, you know, it can be prevented. Right. That's more importance is given. Then if they suffer from any condition, we will treat that.
Okay. And diet, as you said, is a very big component, and lung cancer, to reduce mucus-producing types of food. But what about in general? What do you advocate for people to eat? And it's funny you said we only need two meals
yes.
a day. We indulge. Why two meals?
See, if you look at the old saying, they say one meal a person is like a saint. Actually, you need only one proper meal in a day. Then you are like a saint because...
But we aren't saints.
Yeah. So second is that if you take two meals, we say that you are like a person who want to enjoy the life. The three meals, you are already a patient, means the possibility is there the system will not be able to digest it on time. Because when you take a light meal, for an example, you take a bowl of porridge, rice porridge, which is easily takes only an hour for a healthy person to digest. The same rice porridge, if you add some oil or maybe some meat or maybe some spices, the same thing become 3 hours to digest. So when you talk about 1 hour digestion, your intestine, your liver, your gallbladder, your complete system of metabolism digests the food in faster, absorbs the best part of the food, and they can rest.
Mm-hmm.
So they can eliminate the unhealthy toxins from the system. But suppose you take a meal which is heavy by 3 hours, it takes, then you have the next meal even before that is digested, then you have another meal after that. So continuously means in long run, naturally, you will have unhealthy toxins just because the quantity of the food you just take and the type of the food you take. So 4 meals, if you take, they say you are already a sinner.
Oh boy.
That means 2 is the best.
Okay. And so, when you say 2 meals, what are the 2 best times to have those meals?
We say early morning hours, our digestive system is just rising. According to Ayurvedic principles, we believe as the sun rises, our digestive metabolic fire also rises. So 11 o'clock will be the best time to have our first meal. And the second meal maybe by 6 o'clock or before sun sets.
Nothing before 11 in the morning?
No need. Maybe
really?
You can have a glass of fruit juice or something, but even that's not needed because our system is just getting better. And if you can just follow only 2 meals a day, that itself will help you a lot in preventing from disease developing.
Okay, so you can start by having the 2 meals and then maybe later on look at what you're actually eating.
Yeah. Yes, basically light food is the one. Which are you asking me what?
Yes.
I'm a vegetarian for a long time.
I don't like you.
In the morning hours, I generally take only rice porridge or maybe some light vegetarian, maybe idli or dosa, something like that. And then second meal is generally around 6:30. Very, very rarely I have a late dinner. Always try to avoid unless there is an urgent meeting or something like that. Evening, maybe chapati or some rice based, like maybe some rice only, something like that. So it's basically 1 meal based on rice, 1 meal based on wheat, which is chapati or something like that.
Right.
With vegetarian morning, maybe some sambar or chutney or something like that. So it's that's enough. In between, you may have a glass of coffee or a tea, maybe by 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, which is a habit we still don't advocate because coffee also contain caffeine, tea also contain caffeine, both are not so healthy for the heart.
In terms of nutrition, is that enough for our bodies to function?
Actually, that's enough for us. You don't need to actually have too much. Even I do not take any supplements or any nutritional additives or anything like that. It's basically only that. Also, exercise every day, either yoga or maybe 1 hour, 30 minutes to 40 minutes walking. Of course, do some prayers in the morning hours, some breathing techniques, and try to go to bed as early as possible, 10:30, 11, like that.
Okay. We have a question here. Someone's asking Dr. Sibi, ultra-fine particles, 2.5 parts per million, I think. This you will come across when you talk about the haze and mm-hmm. the particle size. It may be a contributor to lung cancer. So what is the society's stand on this? I mean, are you convinced that particles like these contribute towards lung cancer?
Yeah. See, even engine diesel produced, you know, exorbitants, all those gases, is one of the major reasons, one of the, what can say, important reason which can actually cause lung cancer. Even it's produced from the diesel, emissions from that. So naturally, all these ultra-fine particles do asbestos, radon gas. It's like there are nowadays there are detectors to even before you buy a land to understand whether radon is there or not. So it's better to have the soil itself healthy, even the vegetable produced in those places, even the fruits produced in those places. That's why we always try to tell them, yeah, better make sure that even the soil way or the sand which you're actually going to have for your house, just be clear. So all these things can definitely cause. There are innumerable number of things which is unhealthy in this area.
Is it crucial to consult a trained holistic medical professional?
Sure, it's very important. Anywhere you go, you should be meeting.
And who is a holistic trained medical professional?
Who are professionally trained, you know, who have a medical or an Ayurvedic degree or a Chinese medical degree, who have the proper training under a qualified university. There's no doubt in that.
Okay. And how do you manage aid in, you know, nerve pain from chemotherapy, from lung cancer? How does holistic healing help with that?
That depends on the condition. For an example, suppose you have a nerve pain after the chemotherapy, or maybe just because of the conditions of cancer itself, sometimes you will be having it in multiple myeloma and all those conditions, you can actually have that. Where we do introduce internal herbal combinations to improve oxygenation, to rejuvenate the nervous system. Also, sometimes we do apply some external oils and all those things to reduce the pain and all those symptoms.
What about acupuncture? Will that help in terms of assisting?
No doubt in that. In pain management, we understand it has a major role in that.
What about acupuncture and helping with breathing?
My understanding about acupuncture is basically, of course, in improving circulation, strengthening the nervous system. So naturally, it should support the breathing also. But we do use yogic breathing exercises, pranayama, all those things are introduced to improve the breathing.
And of course, when you're fighting cancer, it has everything to do with your immune system.
Yes, yes.
Especially when your immune system is weakened so much with chemotherapy, mm-hmm. How do you help them boost?
We do have some internal herbal combinations. In those cases, we do not ask them to exercise or do all, because the patient may not be in a condition to actually undergo all those training and everything. So we have to introduce some herbal combination to improve their immune system, like Brahmarasayanam, Chavanaprasham, Bakabamuni. There are many combinations are directly introduced to improve the immune system.
And we spoke about meat just now. What about sugars, Dr. Sibi?
Of course.
It's very controversial that there is this understanding that, you know, cancer thrives on sugar.
Sure.
Is that true?
That's true, actually. See, not only cancer, most of the chronic diseases where you have metabolic disorders, hypertension, diabetes, hypercholesterolemia, obesity, we normally tell them do not have sugar, not necessarily for diabetes. The same way, sugar is unhealthy for the diabetic patients to take. So we normally tell them, even for a healthy person, sugar is not to be taken.
Mm-hmm.
In its
natural form?
Natural form, of course, it's there in fruits, it's there in rice, it's there in, those things are fine. Added white sugar or brown sugar, better not to take. It's unhealthy for anybody. That's a very bad thing for the health.
Are you for supplements?
Normally, no.
Not part of the holistic healing process?
Of course, see, we do have in our food which we take. Like for an example, when you take rice, you do have some vegetables taken along with that. You add some spices into it. You add some oil into it. All those things will actually give you enough supplements into the system. Of course, if it is in a cancer patient, naturally we do have to give something, because sometimes the body may not be able to absorb it. The metabolism or the digestive fire may not be so strong. So those times we may introduce some herbal supplements. But otherwise, vitamins will not substitute the actual treatment.
What will?
Medication has to be introduced.
Okay.
You have to introduce that.
All right. And in terms of social and emotional support, how do you help patients with that?
Basically, it is counseling, and also relaxation techniques are there. Spiritual techniques are introduced. Like we tell them why concentration is important, why breathing techniques are important, why prayer is important. If you believe in that, try to do that. So it's basically, it's a mind, body, spirit are involved in any conditions. So we teach them some techniques to relax them, to address it in a positive mind attitude. So there are, sometimes we may have to introduce some medication also to make them feel better, mm-hmm. you know, if they have a sleep problem and all those things.
How different is your sort of medication as opposed to mainstream medical drugs?
See, for an example, if you have a sleep condition, when you introduce a sleeping tablet, the patient sleeps. And then you continue that and you need that after some time. But when you look at a holistic, or for an example, if you look at the Ayurvedic point of view, why you do not have the sleep? Or is it because you have a stress in your mind? Then you have to make them relaxed. You have to make them speak. You have to counsel them. You have to make them come out of it. Sometimes even if you tell them, or a patient who is actually having a sleeplessness or maybe a depression or a condition related to stress, if you tell them go and meditate, go and exercise, go and do some breathing techniques, he may not be able to even understand what we're trying to say. So those period, we do introduce a treatment technique to make them physically fit first. That means we introduce medications, we introduce herbal combinations, we may introduce some oil treatment, we may introduce some detox. So make him feel physically fit. You know, when you have a mind-related problems, there is no meaning in telling him to relax. If the naturally, in all conditions, when you have a mind problem is involved, body is already unhealthy. So we address the body first. And when you address the body, see, like for an example, there was a boy who actually was actually a drug addict. Just imagine. When he came, his problem was, I can't sleep. If I don't take, I can't sleep. So if we tell them, don't take it, he said, oh, I'm here because I can't sleep. And I know that it's an unhealthy thing to take it, but I don't know how to actually. So there you introduce a detox program. Do some oil application, give him some treatment program to make sure all the unhealthy toxins are cleaned from his system. So he feel physically fit. Then you talk about it. So he already say, yeah, when my physical system is better, I can automatically sleep. Oxygenation goes into the brain and the system become more healthier. And he say, yeah, now I am calm. I understand. You know, it's always the physical body address first, then going to the mind part.
Right. It's we have a question here. Doctor, what do you recommend for head nerve injury? I know we're digressing from lung cancer here.
Yeah, but still, head nerve injury means you should understand exactly what's the condition. We may have to see the person. It may not be appropriate to tell what to do it because you have to understand the severity of the injury. Then you can only address. Generally, it's external treatments are given and internal herbal combinations are also introduced.
Okay, but you need to know the entire story,
correct,
don't you?
Yeah.
Kumar wants to know, how safe is our water and the best way to actually filter the water? I mean, water is crucial, you know, and our water supply ain't the cleanest. So what's your advice?
We always advise whether you have a filtered water. There are many kinds of wateries available in the market. Okay, that, you know, so many things are there. It's like too many things are there. Everybody advocate this is the best and it can prevent. Of course, filtration to some extent definitely help us to avoid unhealthy things from the water. But we always advise the best way to prevent an unhealthy water, or the best way to have a healthy water, is boil it. Boil the water. So it can actually take away all the unhealthy things. And then you drink it. That's the best way to be always.
Really? Yeah. What about, then why do we filter it? Are you saying we shouldn't filter it?
Filtering, no, I'm not telling you filtering is not good. Even if you filter it, you may not be able to actually avoid certain things, which is still people do not know, or maybe mankind do not know how to actually have it safe. So we always advise boil it. That's the best way to avoid all unhealthy things. That's why in olden days they say put some jeera and boil it, put some coriander seeds and boil it, put some dry ginger and boil it. All those things improve your appetite, improve your metabolism, remove unhealthy toxins from your digestive system. That's why it was practiced in a long time ago, you know.
Right.
So
okay.
That's the best.
It's very, very interesting. For those who are listening right now and who are thinking, you know, I'm not convinced by what Dr. Sibi is saying, what would you like to say to them?
Not convinced in what?
In that, you know, this is not the way for them. Mm-hmm. You know, that they're not convinced by this whole idea of holistic healing. How would you convince them?
No, there are three things we should understand. No approach is perfect or complete. You have to understand what's the condition of the patient. For an example, if a patient is coming and telling, okay, I have a backache. You can think about why you have a backache. Maybe it's a slip disc. Maybe it's a degeneration of the joint system. Maybe it's something connected to the external injury. You can advocate go and have a surgery, or you can advocate go and have an orthopedic physician to do, or maybe you can even have a all sort of external treatments, physio and everything there. You try that for 5 years, 10 years only, then only you see a holistic patient, therapist. You don't come, when you have a condition, naturally you go for a what is immediately available. Mm-hmm. Then when they talk about, oh, you may have to do a surgery, then only you can recover. Some patients do feel, oh, I'm a bit skeptical, I don't want surgeries, put scissors into my body. That's the time you think about having a herbal or maybe holistic. There, by introducing some internal herbal combination, by using some external oil treatment, if you can cure, that means if you see a slip disc and you do an oil treatment, or maybe you do follow the Ayurvedic treatment, after 1 year, you take MRI, if the slip disc is back to normal, you have to believe that, right? And you don't have a back. So I think it depends. But at the same time, if you have a surgical condition, whether it's a tumor, sometimes you may have to do a surgery. So I think emergencies and surgical conditions, definitely conventional system is still the best. There's no doubt in that. But in certain conditions, holistic approach do support. No system is complete. I'm telling you still, you know, that systems are, all the system continue completely, like nobody is perfect. But if you can integrate everything, definitely holistic system can help you in it.
But you need to believe in it. You need to believe in it.
I did not, of course, believing of course is an important factor. But see, the world is into evidence and scientific evidence. If you tell, oh, you have to believe in this, then only it will work. We don't say that. Belief is not science. Science is facts. If you have a burn in your skin, and if it is burning or if the skin is damaged, it's going to believe because I say something. It's not like that. You have to introduce something which can heal that. And why it heals? Because your skin have a burn, hot things, we have to introduce something cold. So definitely it is a fact. It's not just only believing in that. It will work. Beliefs and spiritual things and all those things do have a role. But it should still work. A science or a system of a treatment means, whether you believe or you do not believe, it has to work. That then only it's a system of medicine. Otherwise, I don't think it's a system of medicine.
Stanley, how can we get more information on the 3rd Malaysian International Conference on Holistic Healing?
Okay, it will be held on the 27th of October, that is on a Sunday, at the Sime Darby Convention Centre. Mm-hmm. The conference is for the whole day from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. It is free of charge. It costs $260 per participant, but we have got sponsorship, so of course everything we do is free.
Okay. Is there a website where we can go and register?
Yeah. So they can register either by calling me, Stanley Ong. My handphone number is 012-3297-566, or they can contact Puspa. Telephone number 012-973-2528. They can call us, or they can SMS us their details, or they can email us to youcansurvive@gmail.com. You starting with just a U.
You can survive.
Or those who want to register online, they can basically go to our website, www.cansurvive.org.my.
Okay, fantastic. It was wonderful having both of you on today, actually. And it's good to know that it's a free conference, the 3rd Malaysian International Conference on Holistic Healing, once again, happening on the 27th of October, which is a Sunday at the Sime Darby Convention Centre. I would just give one number just to make sure that it sticks, 012-329-7566, or you can just log on to cansurvive.org.my for more information. That was Dr. Sibi, who is president of the Can Survive Centre, and Stanley Ong, who's chairman of the International Conference on Holistic Healing, on just the topic of holistic healing and lung cancer on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.